Amen. Appreciate that good singing, sis. What a blessing. Would you take your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 5. We'll read a few verses of Scripture. And for those of you that came out to the meeting Monday night, this won't be anything like you got then. I want to talk to the church from my heart just for a few minutes tonight. I think something that we need. I think something that every church needs, every Christian needs. Daniel chapter number 5. When you get there, say amen. If y'all had a pretty good week so far, say amen. Hallelujah. I just keep remembering we got a bus. Amen. Yeah. Everything bad comes up, I think we got a bus. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter number 5. I want to look. We're going to begin reading in verse number 9. But let me bring you up to what's going on. Belshazzar, the king, has thrown a big feast, and he is abusing the instruments of the temple, the Lord's instruments, and the handwriting comes on the wall, and we have that phrase, "Many, many tickle you, Pharisee," which we know it means you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. But Nebuchadnezzar, or Belshazzar is in a tizzy trying to figure out what this means. Everybody at the party saw the writing on the wall. Could you imagine that, being at a party where you ought not to be? Come on, talk with me just a minute. Can you imagine being in a party as a Christian and you know you have no business being where you are? And all of a sudden the hand of God begins to write on the wall. And it wouldn't matter to you what it said. It just that you knew it was God. Amen. And that's how Belshazzar is. He's like, uh-oh. Can you imagine? I kind of put myself in his shoes today, and I thought, yeah, buddy, been there. Know exactly how you feel. But in verse number 9, the Bible said, "Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled." The reason was nobody could figure out what this writing was. "And his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, 'O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in these days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, who was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an," say these next two words with me, "an excellent spirit, and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show thee the interpretation." Now go to chapter 6 and verse number 3. Chapter number 6 and verse number 3. The Bible said, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes." Why? Because of what? "An excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." This fellow was placed over all the presidents, all the rulers. He had a higher position than anybody else simply because, the Bible said, he had an excellent spirit in him. Do you understand tonight that every one of us have a spirit about us? Now, I'm not talking about the holy capital S, P-I-R-I-T. I'm talking about your spirit. Are you with me? We, everyone, have a spirit about us, and the Bible said that Daniel had an excellent spirit. Didn't just say he had a good spirit. Then some people will say, you know, he's got a sweet spirit, or he's got a humble spirit. The Bible said Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to possess an excellent spirit. And I'll be honest with you, I don't always have an excellent spirit. Can I get a witness? I mean, somebody talk to me right there. If you want to sit there and tell me that your spirit's what it ought to be all the time, you lying. Amen. Hey, how can you say that? Because you're human and you're breathing and sucking in and blowing out just like I am. Amen. There's days I can't say I have an excellent spirit. Daniel had been taken captive by a heathen nation. He had been taken away from his family and his friends. He's living among heathen. He no longer sees his preacher, if you will. Those who know him and love him are not around. He could have run from God and sat down on God if he want to, and nobody would have known it. Daniel was in a circumstance that you and I know nothing about, yet he maintained an excellent spirit. Most of us, when something bad happens to us or even around us or even within our little area of communication, we will develop a bad spirit. But Daniel retained his excellent spirit. Now, brother and sister, that's easier said than done. That's easier said than done. You say, well, preacher, what if I have developed a bad spirit? Well, David said, turn over to Psalms right quick. Psalms chapter number, I'm going the wrong way. Psalms chapter number 51. Psalms chapter number 51. I want to show you something here and make just a couple of little observations and we'll go to the house. Psalms chapter number 51, verse number 10. David said, create in me a what? A clean heart, O God. And I like this word, renew. You know what that means? That's kind of like revive. Renew in me a, what kind of spirit? A right spirit. So in other words, David was acknowledging, number one, that his heart was dirty. Let me say it again. David was acknowledging, number one, that his heart was dirty, and number two, that his spirit was not right. Now, I don't run into many Christians who says, preacher, I'll be honest with you, my heart's dirty and my spirit's not right. We want to say her heart's dirty, his heart's dirty, and he has a bad spirit and he has a bad spirit. But I'm right with God. Before we can ever renew, to renew a right spirit had to mean that once upon a time there was a right spirit. But something had caused that right spirit to disappear. What was that? It was whatever made his heart unclean. I think it's almost impossible to have the unclean heart and the right spirit. I don't think they go together. If they did, David wouldn't have asked for both at the same time. He said, Lord, here I am, filthy and dirty. I messed up. I made some mistakes. God, clean up my heart and give me back that right spirit that I used to have. Now let me ask you a question. Did God do it? Both counts. Yes, he cleaned his heart. And yes, he gave him back his right spirit. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? Aren't you glad we don't serve a God who says, no, sir, brother, you had chance after chance after chance and you blew it and you blew it and you blew it and you blew it. No, sir, God says, come here, son, let me pick you up and wipe off your sin, put you back on your feet again. Yes, I'll put that right spirit back in you as long as I know that that heart is sincere. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a place to where we just try to get right with God before we go to church. Oh, Lord, I'm about to have teach Sunday school. God, forgive me. That's not sincerity. That's using God as a scapegoat. What God's looking for is a sincere heart. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this? I believe over these last 16 years, and even before that when Brother J.M. was here, I don't think the spirit of this church is any different than it was then. I've been there. This church has always had a good spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the spirit of this church. When people come here and they see the excitement of our worship and the friendliness of our faces and how we cut up and carry on with one another and how we enjoy being together and having a good time, people say to themselves, whether they know the verbiage or how to put it into words, they say, man, there's a good spirit about this place. But I'm here to tell you as your pastor tonight, there's a bad spirit creeping in. There's a bad spirit creeping in. And I don't know about you, but I want to cut that thing off at the pass and I want to get the good spirit back. It would be amazing to you what I can feel sitting in this chair. When there's tension among us, I can sense it. Amen. And you know what? The devil loves it. And God hates it. The devil says if I can get them that way, that's the best way I can get them. I can do more harm with a bad spirit than I can any other thing. If I can create in that church a bad spirit. If he can create in this church a bad spirit, nobody wants to come. Amen. You ever been in a church where the doctrine was dead on the money? Where they crossed every fundamental T and dotted every fundamental I? But it was still as cold as Antarctica? They had the truth and they preached the truth and they preached it right, but there was something about the place that just made you not want to go back. You know what it was? It was a bad spirit. Or even a bad attitude. I tell you what, man, there ain't nobody on the face of this planet can preach too hard to me. As long as he's got a right spirit. Can I say it again? As long as he's got a right spirit. John R. Rice, and I know some of you have problems with him. He did correct the Bible some back years ago. But John R. Rice had a talent or a spirit about him. He didn't preach like I do. He sure didn't click his heels over his head. He rarely moved from behind the pulpit and wore them glasses right down on his nose was that wide. He wore them glasses right down on the end of that nose and he mumbled like this right here. And he'd cut you to ribbons. You'd have to look and see if you were bleeding. And there's no way you could get mad for the weeping. You know what it was? It was what he said, but it was also the spirit he said it in. Amen. Are you with me tonight? I want to have an excellent spirit. God's spirit communicates with man's spirit. You understand what I'm saying? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him. God doesn't appeal to our intellect. That's why you can't deal with the intellectual. Y'all getting quiet on me. I hope you're just thinking. But God communicates with our spirit, and when our spirit's not right, that communication's messed up. Amen. I'm going to turn to some scriptures tonight. I may not even preach the message. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter number 25. Proverbs chapter number 25. I'm going to show you something, the danger of our spirit getting messed up. Proverbs chapter number 25. Y'all there? Look at verse number 28. The Bible says, he that hath no rule over, now watch this, his own. Whose spirit? His own spirit. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. A man who cannot control his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You've heard me preach enough from the book of Nehemiah where the walls lay in shambles. What did those walls for that city represent? Thank you, brother. Protection. When our spirit is uncontrolled and our spirit is not right, we are wide open to the enemy. We are wide open to attack. What was the first thing that caught those Israelite spies' eyes, those 10 spies that came back with a bad report? You know what they said? They got great walled cities. When Moses sent them over there and said, go spy out the land, they come back and they said they got great walled cities. You know what that meant? They're protected. They said, man, there ain't no way we can get to them. They're protected. When God told, Job came before the sons of men and the sons of God and was talking to God. And God said, have you tried my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. He's perfect and upright, one that escheweth evil. And you know what the devil said? You got a hedge or a wall around him. Wasn't that what he said? Job said, I can't get, the devil said, I can't get to Job. Because there's this hedge of protection around him. Amen. Now, Proverbs says that a man who cannot control his own spirit is like a city without a hedge of protection. Yeah. Yeah. And when we allow something to foul up our spirit, we're wide open to what? Everything. We're wide open to everything. You know what I found? When my spirit is not what it ought to be, I'm at my weakest place and I'm vulnerable. At my weakest place. And it started when I let my spirit get out of whack. It started when I let those walls come down. All he needs is a crack. All he needs is a crack. I can go to Brother Greg Nix's house and I can walk around and round and round his yard and not know a whole lot about him. But if I can walk through that front door, I've got access to his whole life. That house may be 50, 60, 70 feet wide, but if I can get through that 3-foot space right there in the front of it, I can check out his bathrooms, I can check out his closet, I can check out his bedroom, I can look under his rug, I can look in all the hidey holes, I can look at his computer and tell what he's been looking at. What are you saying? I'm saying all he needs is that doorway to get into, that one broken down place and a bad spirit to get in and affect everything. Amen. Isn't that what I ain't a computer geek, but ain't that what a virus does to a computer? They find a way in and then it messes up everything. I'm talking about your spirit tonight. I've found in my own life that discouragement is a bad spirit. When we think about a bad spirit, we're talking about maybe being smart mouth or hateful or mean. No, it's more than that. It can just be getting down and staying down too long. Everybody has a bad day, but boy, the devil will play with discouragement quicker than anything I've found in my life. He sees me get a little bit down and he jumps on that thing, brother. I see one thing wrong and he's going to show me 10 more. Amen. I start to get a little discouraged about some of you guys, and brother, he won't just show me some of y'all, he'll open up stuff about all of y'all. And where did it start? My bad spirit. You can get a critical spirit. If you're critical of one person, now hang on, you got a bad spirit. I'm helping us tonight, whether y'all shouting or not. But if you got a critical spirit, you got a bad spirit. If you got a bitter spirit, you got a bad spirit. I don't care how loud you shout in the service. I don't care how many times you come to the altar, how much you squall and slang snot. If you got a bitter spirit, you got a bad spirit. Yes, amen. Amen. And the devil will use that one area. I don't know how many people's in our church, half of them going out of town. I don't know how many's here tonight, better than 100. But do you know all it's got to, you know all it's got to do to cause me to have a bad spirit toward every one of you? Just have a bad spirit toward him. You say, I don't believe that. I'm watching it. I'm watching people who've got a bad spirit toward one person, so they go to other people's houses and criticize the whole church. The devil's come in your front door. And he didn't just stop in the foyer. He's been in my house too. Amen. Amen. We have got to guard and protect our spirit. Do you know how hard it is to get up here and preach like I do when my spirit ain't right? I hate to be this truthful with you, but sometimes I've sat in that chair on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and there's a battle going on. I'm working so hard on what's in my head to go away so what's in my heart can come out. Because my spirit ain't right. And God's saying, well, buddy, you better get that spirit right because they need what I want to tell them tonight. Hope we're okay. Back up to Proverbs chapter number 16. Let me show you something. Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number, I'm on the wrong page. 32. Now watch this. Quite a contrast from the verse we just read. Y'all there, I still hear pages. I'll wait on you. He that is slow to anger, now watch this, is better than the mighty. Here we go. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. He said, he that ruleth his spirit is greater than he that taketh a city. But he that ruleth not his spirit is like a city that's wide open and vulnerable. How many of you would readily admit, I've had a bad spirit? You may not have right now, but you have had. Amen. Well, how do I know if I've had a bad spirit? Have you talked about somebody else? Have you stuck your nose where it don't belong? Amen. Have you allowed a bad spirit to allow sin to come in your life? I'm here to tell you tonight, I ain't pointing fingers at nobody. I'm talking to every one of us. When we lose that good spirit, that spirit that makes you smile and makes you love everybody. Remember that song, Brother Charles, the old song, Give Me That Old Time Religion? Amen. Wasn't there a verse in there that says, makes me love everybody? Amen. Makes me love everybody. Give me that old time religion. That's good enough for me. Amen. I want that what makes me love everybody. That thing I had when I first got saved. Man, everybody, I didn't think nobody could do no wrong. We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. But then you get saved and you've been saved a while. And you get over it and you start seeing what's wrong with everybody else. I'd be a fool to stand here and tell you everybody in our church is right with God. There ain't. I'd be crazy to tell you there ain't people in this room got sin in their life. Nod your head. That's probably you. You say, how can I know that for sure? Look in the mirror. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But when I start noticing everybody else is more than I'm noticing mine, something's wrong with my spirit. I've let the gap down. I've let the wall down. And the devil's crawled in and gave me a critical spirit. And a judgmental spirit. You say, yeah, but bless God, you got to preach the truth. Oh, yeah, you got to preach the truth. But more than I should be concerned with keeping you right, I need to be concerned with keeping me right. Amen. And more than you should be concerned with keeping your neighbors right and what everybody else is doing in their life, you need to be considered and concerned with keeping your own heart right. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching the truth and some ain't liking it. I know there's times you can't say amen, you just have to go, ow. But at least go, ow. Don't sit there and sull up and get mad. Somebody could just look at you and say, you ain't happy as you used to be. You're not as excited about the things of God as you used to be. What happened? Spirit changed. God didn't change. He's the same God He was when you're shouting and praising Him. He's the same God He was when this was the greatest church in the world. Amen. Amen. He's the same God He was and the same Holy Spirit He was when you loved everybody in this place. Yes. Yeah. He's the same God He was when you realized everybody in this place was just like you and has faults and failures. Amen. And you was glad you finally found a place you fit in. But all of a sudden, you've developed a spirit that makes you better than everybody else. That's a bad spirit. You watch that crowd that we're always right and you're always wrong. You know what happens to that crowd? It usually comes back on them double. Double. I'm not talking about preachers that rear back and preach against sin and preach truth. I ain't you know better than that. But I'm talking about Christians who sit in church and judge everybody else. It's coming to your house. You can count on it. Enough about a bad spirit. David showed us how to get a right spirit. We're going to have to get on our face. And we're going to have to repent. of whatever it is that's causing the bad spirit in our heart. I don't mean confess, I mean repent. You don't hear much about repentance anymore. Everybody wants to holler 1 John 1:9, but nobody wants to talk about repentance. Amen. You say, you don't believe in confession? Yes, I do, but after confession means comes repentance. I've confessed a lot without repenting. Confession means to admit what you've done. Repentance means to turn and not do it no more. Are you with me? David said we got to get a clean heart. And then ask God to give us our right spirit again. That right spirit helps us to understand God's will. And that right spirit will protect us from the devil. Amen. You know, the Bible says neither give place to the devil. And we think of all these big sins that give place to the devil. A bad spirit gives place to the devil. Amen. I hope you'll agree with that. Let me give you some ways to protect yourself against a bad spirit. Number one, get lost in the cause of Christ. Get lost in the cause of Christ. I've beat on this and beat on this and beat on this and beat on this, and you're sick of hearing it. But there's nothing more important. This thing is bigger than me and you put together. Amen. This bus ministry is bigger than any person who's ever lived. It ain't about you. It's about the Son of God. It's about Christ being glorified. I think He showed us Monday morning just how interested and just how much He loves them bus kids. And that ain't the only time He's ever done it. He's done it over and 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 over again. When we thought there was no way a bus could roll, God has made a way. We got to realize that glorifies the Son of God. And brother, we got to protect our spirit by getting lost in that cause. Whether that cause is your Sunday school class, whether that cause is a bus ministry, whether that cause is a youth program, whether that cause is a patch club in the Pee Wee Club, I don't care what the cause is, but it's all pointing to the same thing, that God be glorified. Let's get lost in the cause. And you know what that does? That makes everything else that would affect our spirit. You remember what Nehemiah said to Sanballat and Tobiah? Nehemiah was up working on the wall, sword in one hand, trowel in the other. Sanballat and Nehemiah come by. I mean, Sanballat and Tobiah come by. They're the enemy. They're trying to stop the work that is going on. And they said, come down here and let us have a little conference, will you? No, but stay with me. Hey, Nehemiah, come down here and let me tell you what we heard. Hey, Nehemiah, come here and let me tell you what so-and-so told me. Hey, Nehemiah, you ain't going to believe this one, Bubba. Come on down. Come here, Nehemiah. We want to give you a prayer request. You know what he said? Why should I come down to you? Or I'm doing a great work. You know what he said? My work is greater than your gossip.
Yes, sir. Amen.
My work is greater than whatever it is. But you don't know what we want to talk about. It don't matter what you want to talk about. It ain't more important than this.
Amen.
But you don't know what we heard. I don't care what you heard. It ain't no more important than this.
Amen.
Nothing's that important. Nothing. I said nothing is that important. Yeah, but I think this is something you ought to... No, I ain't coming down. I got my eyes on my cause. David saw the big Philistine in the valley, Goliath. The Israelite army was standing on the ridge, trembling, knees knocking. And that guy's down there cussing God. And little David said, y'all gonna take it? They said, did you see him? That sucker's 10 foot tall, man. His sword's as big as a weaver's beam. We ain't going down there, man. He'll surely kill us. You know what David said? But is there not a cause? Is not the cause we have greater than that giant down there? Isn't what we've got to do and what we represent, isn't that bigger than the giant? Isn't the God we serve and the work we've seen Him do in our own lives, isn't that bigger than our little situation? Isn't that bigger? Three kids off of your bus. The bus that blowed up. We'll blow one up every week if three kids get saved. I mean, I ain't wishing for that. I ain't no idiot. Let me tell you, three. Boys, girls, mixed, what was it? Three boys. Woo, they have the greater influence over the rest of them. Three of them rough little old boys come in and got born again. Now you tell me what you've got going on that's bigger than that. Come on, apples and oranges. Oh, but my feelings hurt. It ain't bigger than that. Somebody's talking behind my back. It ain't bigger than that. So what you coming down for? Get your fanny back up the ladder. Pick up the trowel. Get the spirit right. And let's go on in the things of God tonight. Some of you will be hunting that ladder right now. Because you've crawled down off the wall. If not to spread the junk, to listen to it. And if you listen to it, you're as guilty as the one telling it. Can I get a witness right there? Or you can say, oh me. Let's get lost in the cause of Christ. If we have a bad spirit, we'll be ineffective for Jesus. If we have a bad spirit, we'll be ineffective as soul winners. If we have a bad spirit, we will not be a blessing to others. If we have a bad spirit, we won't even be able to hear God's direction for our life. Amen. I said, number one, let's get lost in His cause. Let's make that greater than anything else going on in our life. Amen. If you be honest, it used to be. If you be real honest, it used to be. Number two. I said, number one, get lost in the cause of Christ. Number two, fall in love with that book again. It's that simple. So I get tired of hearing that. Well, do it. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. How many of you love the book? Come on, be honest. I mean, I want your hands up. You love the book? All right. Some of you didn't raise them. Thank you for being honest. Psalms 119, verse 165. Now watch this carefully. You say you love the book? Verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, that nothing shall offend them. Amen. So I just ain't got peace tonight. You quit loving that book. I'm offended. You quit loving that book. Amen. I didn't write it. I don't like it. I'd rather be offended. Amen. You say, preacher, you ever been offended? Yeah. Quite often. But I love that book. And I got to get over it. Because I know to have peace, I can't be offended. He said, great peace have they which love thy law. And they shall not be, and nothing shall offend them. What did he say shall offend them? Nothing. That's a hard pill to swallow. But it's a pill nevertheless. Sing Amazing Grace. It'll help it go down. Amen. I'm trying to help us tonight. I'm trying to help me tonight. I'll be honest with you. I've allowed a bad spirit in my heart. I'm tired of sitting in that chair right there Sunday after Sunday and having to try to get my heart and my spirit right before I can walk up there. I want it right when I pull up in the parking lot. I want it right when I slam the truck door. I want it right when I check the messages in my office. I want it right when I leave the house. I want it right when I get up in the morning.
Amen.
I'm going to have to get lost in the cause again. That cause of Christ has got to get bigger than you again in my eyes. You don't understand, sometimes I get overwhelmed in your trouble. You deal with yours, I deal with everybody's. And I get lost in that, man. If I ain't careful, that gets bigger. And boy, that opens the door and I get down. And I get discouraged. And as soon as I do, it's like a floodgate. Here it comes. Not one little enemy, but all them little engines are coming through the gate. Arrows are flying. I know what I'm talking about. You've been saved anytime, you know what I'm talking about. I've got to get lost in the cause of Christ. I've got to fall in love with this book all over again. You ain't going to like this one. Because I don't. I'm going to tell you how to protect your spirit. This one's tough. You're going to have to listen to the right kind of music. I have a problem with that. More than you think. I don't just have a brother that can play a guitar. I come from a long line of that stuff. It runs deep in our blood. I love music. I have an appreciation for almost all kinds. I do. I recognize talent when I hear talent. Whether if it's of God or not, you got to say, hey, the dude can play, you know. That grunge rock and roll, that ain't music. Rap music, that ain't music. That's the truth, it ain't. That's a nursery rhyme with a beat behind it. A filthy nursery rhyme. Mary had a little lamb. What's the difference? I'm not saying, I don't have a problem with none of that stuff. It just don't do nothing for me. I used to want loud speakers in my car, but I didn't want them to sound like it's busted. How many of you would agree music affects your attitude?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I used to skate on the speed team at the skating rink in Dallas, Hiram. They don't laugh. I'd blow your doors right now. I still smoke it, son. I guarantee you. But when we put our toe stops on that starting line, they didn't play Amazing Grace. It was Fog Hat. Slow Ride. Something that make you want to go. Life in the fast lane. You know, it doesn't matter. I know I'm right. Science is proven. Hard beat music make you get a speeding ticket. It affects your attitude. In cleaning up our heart, some of us are going to have to clean up our radio. Well, now there ain't nothing wrong. I know. Heard all the stories, heard all the excuses, made them myself. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. If it's affected my spirit, it's wrong. If it's causing me to want to party instead of praise, it ain't right. Mm-mm. I'm not against a quiet evening alone with you and your wife and a love song. I'm not against that. Some of you will find fault with me for that, but I'm not against that. But that can't be the norm in your life, friend. I purposed in my heart Monday morning, I'm not cutting that radio on. And I ain't. I'm not cutting that radio on. Oh, I just want to hear the weather. Yeah. Why didn't you turn it when it was over? I know what I'm talking about. I experienced it in my own heart. You ask a teenager what's affecting their life, That you ask a teenager what they're having trouble with, you know what the number one answer is? Every single time. All I'm saying is it's a doorway. In 1 Samuel chapter number 16, and I done got longer than I thought I would be, and in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, the Bible said that God caused an evil spirit to come on Saul. So you know what they did? They went down to Jesse's house, and they found a little boy named David who played cunningly on the harp. And when that evil spirit would come on Saul, David would come in and play. And that evil spirit would leave him. You think he was playing Highway to Hell? If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. I think he was playing something that glorified God. Amen. I know I'm not winning no prizes tonight. I'll be honest with you, I don't like it either. But it's true. There ain't nothing I like better than these boys these last few weeks. All these, I don't know where they all coming from. Just show up after church and they showing up to jam up here. And I love me and Brother Freddie too. I'm putting you in the same boat with me, but we love to get up there and play with them. And that's okay. But we got to keep it right. Amen. Why? Because the devil will use that. I've been in churches where they got this praise and worship stuff. How do I know that's wrong? Because of how hard it is to get up and preach after it. I can get in a service where the singing's right, and brother, I can't wait for them to shut up and turn me loose. But I can get in one where it's a mess, and I'm like, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm grieved. My spirit's grieved. They're swaying back and forth and having a big time, but I'm grieved. Well, well. Get lost in the cause of Christ again. If you want to protect your spirit, you got to get it back first. Love the book. Listen to good music. Be careful of putting too high expectations on others. That's number four, I guess. Be careful of putting too high of expectations on other people. Look. If I'm not careful because of who this kid is, and he's not a kid anymore, he is to me, squirt. If I'm not careful because he's my brother, I'll expect more out of him than I will somebody else. And if I set my expectation of him way up here, but God's expectation of him is somewhere in here. Are you following me? And he rises above God's. And God's going, yeah, but he hadn't reached mine yet. I'm disappointed. God's pleased and I'm disappointed. Sometimes parents, church members, we just expect too much. And then when we don't get what we expect, we develop a bad spirit. Well, bless God, so-and-so ain't right with God. How do you know? Just because they didn't meet your expectation? Just because they didn't shout when you shouted? They didn't go to the altar when you went to the altar? Going to the altar don't make you right with God. It's what you do when you get down there. And then it's what you do when you get up. Well, so-and-so must really love God. They go to the altar every service. So, I go to the bathroom every day. Don't get sideways with me. It's just an act. One's no more spiritual than the other. Don't put your expectations too high, people. You will be let down. Don't put your expectations too high on me. I've seen churches fall apart because the preacher made mistakes. I mean, fall apart. You know what that tells me? They had the preacher way up too high on the pedestal. I'm stinking flesh just like you're stinking flesh. We all right with that statement? You say, yeah, but more is expected. You're right. And I have to learn to live with the fact that that's the way it is. More is expected of me. And rightly so. But I'm no better than you. And nobody on your pew or across the aisle from you is no better than you either. They're human, all subject to failure. So be careful of that. Number, is this five? Be careful who your friends are. Be careful who your friends are. I'm talking about protecting your spirit now. I'm not talking about being separated, sanctified. I'm talking about keeping your spirit right. I've watched teenagers for 16 years change the way they act, the way they talk, their whole countenance, their whole attitude, just because somebody walked in a room. Remember the old saying, you are now or will become who your friends are? I don't care how godly you are, you hang out with somebody with a critical spirit, you're next. Let me ask you a question. If Brother Greg Nix came in tonight and he was wearing a mask, and he said, Brother Eddie, please tell everybody stay away from me, I've got the swine flu. I've got it bad and I'm highly contagious. How many of you would come love on him? Not one. Hey, Brother Greg! Good to see you, brother! But what if you heard Brother Greg Nix has some news about the preacher or about Brother Freddie that will blow your mind? Hey, Brother Greg, how are you doing, brother? I'm right. And that news he's carrying is more deadly than the swine flu ever thought about being. The swine flu will make you sick. The bad news he's carrying will kill you spiritually. Be careful who your friends are. If you're hanging around folks doing stuff you know that you ought not to be doing, be careful. You ain't far behind them. Be careful who your friends are. Be careful who your friends are. I hate to treat you like teenagers, but it's bad when we act just like them. How many times when I was growing up, Mama, did I say, well, everybody else is. That was my excuse for everything. Son, you can't smoke pot. It's a sin. Well, everybody else is. Ain't no big deal. Y'all still out there? You got looks on your faces like you're carrying a dime bag. I'm glad Sanchez ain't got that dog here tonight. Be looking at all of you through the glass in the morning. You know what my mother's answer was always to that every time? Well, if your friends jump off a cliff, are you going behind them? Sad to say, I probably would. I'm just saying, to protect our spirit, we got to be careful who we're around. And you know what? That don't make you better than everybody else. But there's some people, they may be even be sitting in this room. Or they may be out this week and be here Sunday morning that you need to quit associating with. That you need to back away from. I didn't say cut them off, but I said back away. There may be somebody you need to quit spending so much time on the phone with. If they ain't calling you to talk about something good, you don't need to talk to them. I just feel like there's something I need to tell you. Be careful. I'm not saying don't come to me. Sometimes that's my job. Some of you have talked to me this week. I'm not shooting at you. You didn't do anything wrong. But I'm talking about when the phone circle starts going. Somebody calls you all the time. They always got something bad to say about somebody else. You got caller ID. If you ain't get it, you got an answer machine. If they're dying, call them back. I'm just telling you how the devil's getting in here. Be careful who your friends are. Two more. Number six, I think. Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs chapter number 15. Verse number 13. The Bible said a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the what? Spirit is broken. Number six, think happy thoughts. I used to love that fish I had in my office. Micaiah was a baby. I gave it to him, finally. I couldn't counsel after church because Micaiah had to come in there and mash that button on that fish. That fish would wobble, and he'd sing, "Don't worry, be happy." He said, "There's a little song I wrote, and you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry." Ain't that what he said, Micaiah? Be happy. You want to get up here and sing it for him? Amen. Is there anything wrong in this church? We're a church. We're a congregation of humans. Yes, there's something wrong. But we don't have to focus on it. Did I tell you three little old boys got saved Sunday? Yeah. Woo! Did I tell you Brother Roscoe's wife's cancer's gone? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hey man, don't tell me there ain't something good you can concentrate on. We can't. We have got things that are happy we can think about. Yeah. Amen. A fella stopped me after church Monday night outside that tent. He said, "I visited your church one time." He come from a very, very, very legalistic church. He's not there now, but he used to be. He said, "I come to your church and heard you preach one time." He said, "I left mad." I said, "Brother, did I offend you?" He said, "You sure did." He said, you cut up too much while you was preaching." I thought, "Oh God, you should have heard me Monday night." I was in rare form Monday night. And I thought I was fixing to have to really defend myself for that guy. And he stuck his hand out. And he said, "You sure helped me tonight." Amen. I said, in the old days, you know what they'd do to kids who were sick? Before they had grape flavored Robitussin. When they had to give them that old black drought. That sick medicine. You know what they'd do? They'd put sugar in it. Same medicine. Just try to lighten it up a little bit. You know what some of you need to do? You need to lighten up. You need to lighten up just a little bit. How long has it been since you laughed till you cried? I'm telling you, merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Lastly, and I'm done, I think it's number seven. Spend time with God. Just get alone with God. I walked paced back and forth across my back deck yesterday. And I said the same thing over and over. Lord, I need you.
Just walking. Lord, help me. Over and over, he said, okay. No, Lord, really, I need you. Okay. For a better part of an hour, I walked. And begged God for his fellowship. Amen. There's no way you can have a bad spirit spending time with God. You can't do it. You can't do it. The two won't, it's like oil and water, man. Amen. They clash. You say, how do I get a right spirit? Beg God to forgive you for having a bad one and start spending time with Him. I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand. But how many of you have had devotion today? Your personal, I'm not talking about family devotion. I know Brother Robbie and his family, Brother Freddie, several families have family devotion every night. It's a wonderful thing. But I'm talking about your time, you and Him. See, there's things that you can talk about when it's just you and Him. You can't talk about when it's everybody. There's got to be personal devotion with God. It's not about my family's relationship with God. First, it's about mine, then our families. If you've got a bad spirit tonight, I promise you, you hadn't spent quality time with God. Oh, you may have went through some motions. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. That's okay for a three-year-old. But after you're saved, born again, washed in the blood, you ought to have a relationship with Him. My wife came in the door today. I'll be honest with you, man. It did something inside me. My whole countenance changed when I saw her. Why? Because I hadn't been able to spend no time with her all day. And I missed it. Why ain't we like that about God? I'll tell you why. Because we got a bad spirit. That's why. And when we got a bad spirit and we've allowed that to develop in our heart and in our life, we don't want to talk to Him. I honestly didn't mean for this to be this heavy tonight. But I believe He did. I'm glad it's Wednesday night when everybody comes to the altar. Because you can just go ahead and dismiss that, well, if I go, everybody will think I got a bad spirit. If you got one, everybody knows it anyway. But our prayer sheets are right here. And we're going to dismiss this way. I'm going to get Jeremiah and Samuel. Boy, it's good to see you, man. Amen. I miss you. Won't you come up here and help us hand these sheets out? Just stand at the end of that pew right there. When they come to the altar, give them one. Jeremiah, you go to the other side there. Amen. You may not need to do business with God over this tonight. If you don't, pray for everything on that prayer sheet. But listen to me. Listen. If you like me, do business with what we've preached tonight. And then take care of the prayer sheet. Because then taking care of the prayer sheet will be a whole lot more effective. Pray till you get done and you're dismissed. I love you, church.